Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to be dealing a little bit with John the Baptist and his ministry. We covered some of it earlier in the book of Matthew. John the Baptist was born 6 months before the Lord. And he is a forerunner of the Lord, and he was calling the nation of Israel to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then, of course, he spoke in the wilderness. People had to come out to him. And so let's pick up here and we'll look at it. Jesus said in verse 27 of the 10th chapter, says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." People are always concerned with their natural life, and most people show very little concern for their soul. And, then I preach funerals and preach the grace of God. And, of course, when I'm preaching funerals, I try not to say much about the individual who has passed. Yeah, we're in Matthew chapter 10. And we started at verse 27, okay? Anyway, when I preach funerals, I try not to say too much about the individual. I just try to put a positive message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because one thing you can't deny at a funeral is death. Yeah. And people will live their lives and show no concern whatsoever for what's going to happen when I die. And the important thing is that we need to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, came into this world to be God with us as a man. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and he fulfilled all righteousness, and then he offered himself as a ransom for sin. Now, Jesus said in his public ministry, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, in the world, because of the lie of the devil, we have about 4,000 moral systems. And those moral systems are very, some things are the same, some things are different. But according to an online source, there's about 4,000 moral systems in this world. And man thinks that, well, if I'm a good person, when I die, I'll go to heaven. And the truth of the matter is, that's the devil's lie. The devil introduced the concept of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's amazing how many people never ask the question, what is a knowledge of good and evil? Well, it's your moral conscience. But you didn't get your moral conscience from God. I used to think that you did. That's a common error. But if we go back and read the account in Genesis, it was the devil who planted a tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil in the Garden of Eden. Now, what is a knowledge of good and evil? That's your moral conscience. But the problem with man's moral conscience, it's corrupted by its source. It never calls for absolutes. Now, God is absolutely holy, righteous, just. And for us to be in his presence, we have to be that way. And we can't be holy, righteous, and just. So God promised Adam and Eve, after he put them out of the garden, remember he clothed them with the skin of an innocent victim, probably a lamb. And that, they were naked until the day that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God warned them not to eat of that tree. He said, for in the day that you eat thereof, dying, thou shalt die. I'm in the process of dying. I'm 90 years old in a couple of months. And you're, whether you realize it or not, you can, as soon as you're born into this world, you start moving towards the day when you're going to die. Now, that's not a morbid thought at all, because God made provision for us so that when we die, that what we couldn't do for ourselves, he did for us. See, that's what the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was about. Now, we're talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. And so the Jews had promised all that the Lord has spoken, what? We will do. Well, they couldn't. All you have to do is go back to the 20th chapter of Exodus and read the law, and you realize the law demands perfection. But none of us are perfect. We're born with a sin nature. Just got pictures of my great-great-granddaughter born last night, just before Weston's birthday today. She's going to be doing that to him all of her life. Sneaking right ahead. No, that's a boy, a brother-sister thing. Anyway, we have to recognize that in this world, the moment that we're born, we begin to die. Now, man doesn't think that way. Man thinks, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to earn so much money, I'm going to retire, and I like to sail, so I'm going to buy a yacht, and this and that. And he has all kinds of plans. And then there's the crowd that buy the motor homes. I don't know how they drive them now with gas as high as it is since we shut down the Keystone Pipeline. That was a brilliant move. I'm not going to be political, though. Okay? Anyway, John the Baptist came along 6 months older than the Lord. He ministered in the wilderness, and the Jews came out to hear him. And he told them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's to be established by our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews thought that he was going to establish it when he came to this earth in his first advent. And the kingdom won't be established until his second advent, when he comes again. And as we look at things politically and prophetically, we're getting closer and closer to the day when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. There's a portion of scripture back in Ezekiel that tells us about a battle. Well, let's go back to 38th chapter of Ezekiel. I didn't intend to teach this, but we'll go where the Lord takes us. 38th chapter of Ezekiel. Okay. Now, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Now, there was a biblical or a historian, a Jewish historian. His name was Josephus. He wrote, at the time and just following the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to get an idea, when we read the genealogies back in Genesis every now and then there will be a genealogy thrown in. If you go back and look up those names, and then you read Josephus, Josephus tells us where those people migrated to. We see, you know, the Adam's created, then the Adam has you know, we have Cain and Abel, and then Seth. But he had, the scripture tells us that he had many sons and daughters. And we don't have the death of Abel until about 130 years after, you know, after Adam and Eve's creation, and then when we speak of the, I'm trying to formulate my thoughts here, when we speak of the birth of Seth, he was born when Adam was 130 years old. Okay, and presuming that they sinned right away, and presuming that they had children right away. We only do deal with two children, you know, Cain and Abel. Now, if we go to the fifth chapter of Genesis, we find out that he had many sons and daughters. And when we read about after Cain, you know, was judged of God, and God told him, if thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, what? Sin lieth at the door. Now, what does that mean? Well, if we could read it in Hebrew, there's a lamb crouching at the door offered as a sin offering. That's what the lamb crouching at the door is. Okay? So Cain was told, you know, he wanted to give God a present, and he was a farmer, and he must have made a beautiful display of flowers and you know, the various things that you can grow, and offered it to the Lord, and it was rejected. Why? Because it was bloodless. And Adam and Eve had learned, after they had sinned against God, God had to make a sacrifice, and he killed an innocent victim, you know, probably a lamb, to provide them with covering. What had they done? They had, you know, the moment they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what is the knowledge of good and evil? That's our morality, our concept of right and wrong. And so all of a sudden, they're naked. They've been naked ever since God created them. But now, with a knowledge of good and evil, they feel shame being naked. So they sewed fig leaves together. And that is a tenuous covering at best. Okay. So then when God, you know, acted in their behalf, he promised what would take place afterwards. He promised the Savior and so forth. But then he clothed them in skins. Well, you can't get a skin from an animal without putting an animal to death, without the shedding of blood. And the scripture teaches us without the shedding of blood is no remission. So the offering for sin was revealed immediately, and then Adam and Eve had to be put out of the garden, lest they do what? Lest they reach forth and eat of the tree of life, but they're in a lost condition. And so, you know, to have eternal life and not be able to be released from these bodies by death, you know, you get older and older, more feeble, you know. And, of course, whenever the movies portray, you know, like in those Indiana Jones things, you know, they got an old man in there, and they walk across invisible steps to get across the gulf, and then there are all these different cups there, one really, you know, fancy with jewels and everything. Surely that's the cup that our Lord drank from, and so he drinks from it and he dies. not the old prophet, but one of the people, I've forgotten the story. Anyway, it's the world's way of looking at things. You chose poorly. Without the shedding of blood, there's what?
No remission.
I have given it to you for what? An atonement. What's an atonement? A covering upon the altar. So Adam and Eve were shown that right after this. They were clothed with the skins of an innocent victim. And without the shedding of blood, what? There's no remission. So as we progress then through the scriptures, we have the history of the patriarchs and the names. And as I mentioned before, if you read Josephus, you can find out where they immigrated to. And we're talking about this 38th chapter of Ezekiel. And I suppose that the reason I've come here and moving away from dealing with John the Baptist this morning is that we are on the brink of the second coming of our Lord. He could come at any time. Back in the 80s, in 88, 40 years after Israel became a nation again, using 40 years as a generation, and we're told that this generation will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And so I was teaching some messages on the second coming of our Lord. And, the word generation can mean a period of time, or it can be a people. So the nation of Israel is not going to cease to exist until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And I've been reading a book called O Jerusalem. I've read it about four times. It's about that thick in paperback. And it's a very good book. And the number of Jews that died trying to establish the modern state of Israel. The Arabs said, if you declare yourself a nation on May 15th when the British move out, and Ben-Gurion announced that Israel was a nation on the 14th of May. But he said, if you declare yourself a nation, we're going to bury you in the sea. And, of course, it was very easy with all the Arabs along the... there's one road to into Jerusalem. Got to climb up at that point in time. And so trying to get supplies in, there were over 100,000 people in the city of Jerusalem depended upon getting food supplies from down below, and the Arabs have got the road blockaded. And it looked like they were going to lose. And then all of a sudden, God changed things around. They secured the road, and they're still there. Now, what, 48, 58, 68, 78, 88, 98, 2008, 2018, and so what, add four more years? 74 years, Israel's been a nation. And the Arabs promise that we'll bury you in the Mediterranean in a week's time. And if you look at the masses of Arabs that surround Israel, and when they partitioned Israel, Israel isn't as big today as it was in the past. And then if we take God's promise to Israel, then it, everywhere that Abraham set his foot, and then ultimately everywhere the Jews set their feet. So basically, from the Euphrates River all the way up through Saudi Arabia on one side, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, all of those different countries, all the way over the top of the Fertile Crescent, down through Syria, then through Israel proper, all the way to the Nile River. That all belongs to Israel. By God's promise. They've never occupied it. Yeah. But they will. And, of course, everybody looks at Israel as the bully in the Middle East today. You know, God makes a promise. God keeps his promise. So, since I took you back to the 38th chapter, I want to read enough of this prophecy. This is this event will probably take place immediately after we're caught out of this world. You know, when I say we, I'm talking about believers, the first resurrection. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach. Meshach would transfer to Moscow, and Tubal would be Tobolsk. Yeah, two Russian cities. Okay? And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Well, we're not going to go back to fighting with bows and arrows and swords. That was a well-equipped army at the time that this was written. So it speaks of a fully mechanized army. And then notice what it said. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Okay? So, Persia basically takes in Iraq and Iran. Ethiopia, we know where that is. Libya, we know where that is. And then Gomer. Gomer is ancient Galatia. And the Galatians migrated to the west. And we would know them as the Gauls. And so it could be England, France, Ireland, Scotland, France, Germany, any of those nations all have a Germanic or a tie to ancient Galatia. So any one of them or all of them are going to be joined in this army that comes against Israel. And Great Britain promised with the Balfour Agreement that Her Majesty's government looks with favor upon the establishment of a Jewish state in Israel. And then she reneged on that because of World War I and the need for petroleum, and petroleum primarily controlled by the Arabs. Yeah. And then when it came time for the United Nations to vote for the partition of Palestine, England didn't vote yea or nay. They abstained. But, the United Nations, Russia voted to establish a state there. Russia figured they had so many Jews that had left Russia and gone to Israel, that would give them a foothold in the Middle East. So they're going to come against Israel in the latter year. It says that in verse 8, after many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter year. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. Okay, so we're talking about now this army is kind of an aerial invasion coming against Israel. And we'll read a little bit further. They're going to do it when Israel dwells safely. What can possibly give Israel the sense of dwelling safely? The coming of the Antichrist, who they will believe will be the Messiah. So we don't need a fortified city anymore. God's with us. Okay. So then you come and they shall dwell safely, all of them, latter part of verse 8. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. That's why it looks like an aerial invasion. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. That's Israel. See? Well, right now, Israel is walled. Yeah. And they're dependent upon their military streak or strength to keep the peace. Okay? I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them, dwelling without walls. Well, if the Antichrist comes and counterfeits the second coming of Jesus Christ, then Israel's going to think that they're dwelling safely. Yeah. After all, God will be in control. But the Antichrist is not God. Okay. And to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, that's Israel, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. And says it names Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take away a great spoil? Therefore the Son of Man prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when the people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And then that's going to be the motivation for attacking them. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north part. Where does Russia dwell? In the north part. Thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog. This army is going to be destroyed. 6-6 is a whole. 5-6 of it, all that's going to be left, 5-6 is going to be destroyed upon the mountains of Israel. And there's going to be a fire in Meshech, which will probably be Moscow. Now think about this. Who, if there's a fire there with all of our missiles and things today, who's going to suppose that, why do we have a fire in Moscow? You know, because it must be the United States that has fired their missiles at us. Yeah. And so they're going to launch, I believe, from their silos and from their submarines, a massive attack against the United States. Now, if we go over to the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation, we read about economic Babylon. And the scripture says, to economic Babylon, come out of her, my people. Turn to Revelation 18. Now, the first part of this prophecy speaks of things that are past. And then when they get to about verse 9, somewhere along in there, it shifts. Okay. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now, who is the great economic power in the past? Babylon. Who is the great economic power in the world today? Yeah. Do you know that there are more or as many Jews that dwell in the United States as dwell in Israel? And for a long time, there were more in the United States. But there's been continuous migration. So, they're going to take a spoil, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory, In other words, the riches of the world, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. We've certainly been operating in that with all of the false religious system that have been born out of the United States. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all the things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her, who buys all of the world's goods. There's a, you know, when I first came to Oregon, constant log trucks, mills everywhere. Then all of a sudden, we got this, we got to save the forest. If you look at the forest, just driving to the coast, all those different colors of green were once clear-cut timber. They cut down everything, they reseeded it, and so you've got older trees are the darker are green. You got the lighter green or the younger one. But all of that was clear cut at one point in time. It's you harvest it or it rots and burns. Yeah. And so all of this, we're going to save the environment. It's kind of like, let's build a tower so high that God won't be able to judge us with a flood anymore. That's what Babel was all about. God took care of that easy. You can't speak with one, few people here, few people here, there. So they migrated throughout the world. Josephus recorded those migrations, and that's how we know who some of these ancient people were when we read Josephus. Okay? So, in verse 17, for in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. Now, this is going to be like a drop down to verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. This country has on its money, has a national theme, in God we trust. Do we? No. Long ago, we've drifted further and further away. At one point in time, America was one of the primary sources for the spreading of the gospel in the world. Now it's very difficult to find a church that is fundamentally sound. Some of them will give lip service to faith in Christ, but almost all of them fall back to morality as a form or way of life to maintain your salvation. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. How's that going to maintain your salvation? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. So a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea. After World War II, we developed two atomic bombs, and we used them on civilian targets in Japan. We didn't use them on military targets. And God has a way of calling things like that into judgment. We developed the atomic bomb. We used it on civilian targets. It was probably the quickest way to end World War II because the Japanese, if we had invaded Japan, it would be very difficult. I mean, they would fight to the death. All of their women were scared to death that American soldiers were going to come and rape them. That's what their propaganda machine was putting out. So Harry Truman elected to use, the two bombs that they created, to use them on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So sometimes you find that if you do, commit a particular act, then when God brings it to judgment, he flips it. flips the coin and brings the same judgment upon you. Everybody, a few years back, and we've had nuclear medicine in Eugene all along, but no more nukes. That's what the hippies said when they came up from California. No more nukes. We had a power plant just across the Columbia River in Washington providing power. It was never paid for. Shut it down.
Whoops.
The nuclear power is the cleanest form of power with the least in pollution of the environment. Why do you suppose they send battleships to islands that have had tsunamis? Everything, all of the local stuff's knocked out. An aircraft carrier can process so much water in a day. They can provide fresh, uncontaminated water. They can provide power. They can dispose of the sewage. All of that. They just anchored offshore and run the lines in and put these islands back together pretty quickly after a tsunami. So then think about this. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." Now, there are several Babylons in the book of the Revelation. And this one, I believe, is the United States. And I have a book in there. Max DeMont wrote it. And I found it years and years ago. And there's a chapter in there called "The United States, the New Babylon." Yeah. And, of course, the number of Jews here. The Jews became money men in Babylon, ancient Babylon. Yeah. Prior to that, they were an agrarian society. And most of the Jews stayed in Babylon. They didn't return to the land. There was only about 50,000 Jews with their servants that returned to the land after 70 years in captivity. And so, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone. Now, when I was a kid, we lived not far from the Los Angeles River. It's all concrete today, but down where we live, there's a little trickle of water to run out. And we go down there and plunk rocks and all that type of thing. I don't know. Little boys have more fun throwing big rocks in and watching it go in and making a mushroom cloud. I watched the test, after World War II, when we put all of our warships out, a whole fleet of them out there, and exploded a nuclear bomb out in the Pacific. And the whole fleet gone, just that quick. Yeah. And so, plunking rocks, when the rock goes in, the rock displaces the water as it goes down, then the water rushes back and follows that column right up into a mushroom cloud. So, like a great millstone cast into the sea. It speaks of a new nuclear holocaust. Okay? And so, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman, whatever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Yeah. America has been responsible for the gospel going forth, but there's probably more false religions that have been born in America and spread throughout the world than any other nation in the world. Now, let me say this to you. Don't fret this. It's not going to happen while we're here. We have to be taken out first, because as believers, we're not appointed under judgment. So when it takes place, the Lord's going to take, you know, in the resurrection, he's going to take us away. And then the Antichrist is going to come to the earth and establish his kingdom upon the earth. They'll finally have their perfect united nations, you know, one ruler. And then, you know, God's going to, I believe, judge this nation. And then the Antichrist will reign for 7 years. You know, he will basically allow the temple to be rebuilt, and then he'll go to Jerusalem to dedicate the temple, and then he'll demand that all the world worship him as God. And if you don't worship him at that point in time, and it can't be any of us, we're believers, but for the unsaved, they'll still be here. And if you fall into worshiping him, then it will seal your eternal damnation. And then at the end of that tribulation period, of course, the 144,000, who I believe are those Jews that were resurrected after Christ was resurrected, showed themselves alive. They were caught up into the air and have been being trained to come back and preach upon the earth when the Lord, you know, they will come. I believe that the Antichrist will come. Then the 144,000 will come pretty close proximity, and they will preach only in Israel. Remember when we read back in the 10th chapter of Matthew, ye shall not be gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. So during the Great Tribulation, and there are other verses throughout the Old Testament scripture where people will attach themselves to a Jew because I've heard that the Lord is with thee. Yeah, and the only place that the gospel is going to be preached in the world during the tribulation period is in Israel, because it says to the 12, well, then it will be the 12 times 12,000. Ye shall not be gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And then when the Lord comes, he's going to judge the Antichrist, cast the false prophet and the Antichrist into the lake, into the lake of fire, and then the Lord will rule on this earth for, you know, hey, you environmentalists, I want you to hear this. The Lord's going to reign on this earth before he creates a new heaven and a new earth for 1,000 years. And then he'll create a new heaven and a new earth. A nation that once was a mighty bastion for the truth, we've always had false prophets. And it's always been the minimum rather than the maximum that have had the truth. But, you know, going to be, you know, got to be taken out. And that really fits into our studies in Matthew. But it also goes into the Revelation. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we anticipate the coming of our Lord first for us, and then after 7 years with us, and then he will establish his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years, and we will rule with him, and we will rule over a certain group of people that are mentioned in the 25th chapter of Matthew, that inasmuch as you've done good unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so they'll be allowed to live under the rule of Christ for 1,000 years. Man dies at 100, he dies as a child. And so, Father, bless in a very special way as we anticipate the coming of our Lord, and may we be faithful to the proclamation of the gospel till that day comes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.